We began a series a couple of weeks ago on biblical giving, and we'll get back into that tonight. Look with me in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, and you can just remain seated. It'll be all right. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to review a little bit, but I really want you to listen. I'm going to go through a lot of different texts, but I'm going to prove this point from a biblical standpoint. Absolutely bless my heart. I've known some of this down through the years, but just digging a little deeper has really, really helped me. All right, Proverbs 3, verse 9. Wisest man on the earth outside of the Lord Jesus when he was here was Solomon. And he says this in Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Notice the next phrase. And with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled. This is the promise. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy precious shall burst out with new wines. Read it again. Honor the Lord with your substance. That's not just money. That's everything. We'll see that. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Here's the promise attached to it, the reward that comes with it in that act of obedience. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy precious presses shall burst out with new wine. We said the other week, 2 weeks ago, about biblical giving, that there are four types. And I'm going to rehearse these as we go through them one by one. There's no way I'll get done tonight with this second one, but we'll pick it up later. There's first tithing. I'll review that in a moment for those who may not have been here a couple of weeks ago. Then there's the first fruits, what we'll deal with tonight. The third area of biblical giving is almsgiving. And then the fourth area of biblical giving or type of biblical giving is faith promise or seed faith. All acts of giving have the reward-based system. We established that the last time. Here's why. Because every act of obedience goes rewarded by God. Can I get a witness? Not just in the next life, but in this life as well. So, Matthew 13, verses 8 and 23. Matthew 13, verse 8 through 23. We read those a couple of weeks ago. That there was 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold of reward. And then in Luke 6, verse 38, we'll read that repeatedly, but not tonight. There's unlimited reward depending upon unlimited giving. And so, we looked first off at the first type of giving a couple of weeks ago, which is tithing. If you'll remember, tithing is the minimum level of giving. Tithing is the minimum level of giving. We also established the fact that tithing did not begin with Moses, but it began with Abraham. Here's why that's important. You have to get this. I'll say it repeatedly. Any law or principle that was set up before the Mosaic Law was given on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, any law or principle given prior to that is universal. It works for everybody. So it's not bound to the Hebrew people. We ought to say amen to that. Because the law was basically given to the Hebrew people. So therefore, any law, that's why Abraham's known as the father of faith. Because faith came before the law. In fact, 400 and some years before the law. 430 years before the law. So tithing did not begin with Moses and the law. It began with Abraham. We read that in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Compare that with Hebrews 7, where Abraham tithed to a figure called Melchizedek in the Old Testament. King of righteousness and king of peace. He, in my opinion, has to be a Christophany, which is a pre-appearance of Jesus before the Bethlehem experience where he came in the flesh. It was a pre-appearance because only Jesus is the King of righteousness and King of peace. Then we saw how that tithing proves God's ability to bless and provide for His own. Remember in Malachi 3:10, God said, "Prove me. Prove me. I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll bless you." Tithing, don't miss this principle. Tithing clears God to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Malachi 3:11. Let me state that again. Tithing clears God to rebuke the devourer over your finances and your substance and your assets and your health and everything else. Tithing clears God. It's not that He can't do it without your obedience. It's just that He usually won't. So tithing clears God. It unbinds His hands, so to speak, to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Some people can't never get that principle and they don't understand, why am I always in the same financial straits that I've always been in? Why doesn't it get any better? Listen, most people think if they make more money that their finances are going to clear up. Let me just give you this real quickly. If they do not tithe, which is the minimum level of giving, then God is under no obligation to rebuke the devourer in their lives. So therefore, if they had a $10 per hour increase in pay or a $25,000 increase a year in salary, it really wouldn't do any good. Because they'd just figure out another way to blow it. And then God would not be under, He would not go to the devourer, which I know in Malachi 3:11, that's basically the locust and the caterpillars is eating up the crops. And God said, if you tithe the way I'm telling you to, I'll rebuke the devourer of those locusts and those caterpillars and those other insects that eat down your crops and you don't make a profit off of it and you don't get the harvest. But ultimately, that's Satan. The devourer is Satan. And so ultimately, God's saying, I'm under no obligation, listen, even to a believer. I'm under no obligation, even to a child of God by faith in Christ and salvation. I'm still under no obligation to rebuke the devourer when you don't do the minimum part of giving. Again, I want to say this, as I said it a couple weeks ago. I'm not after your money. Most people ever think a preacher, if he preaches on money, he's after their wallet or their pocketbook. I'm not. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be helped. I want you to prosper. I want you to grow in the giving area. Now look at me, folks, tonight. You might as well just look at me and smile because I already know this works. I've done it. We've done it for years. It just flat out works. So tithing also qualifies you to give and receive. Deuteronomy 14:22. Read that. God said, if you'll sow in the land, tithe off of it. He said, I'll bless the land and it'll just keep revolving like that. So tithing qualifies you. Some people don't understand that. Why is this guy over here and his family over here being so blessed and we're not? And we can all try to act super spiritual, but all of us have probably thought that from time to time. Well, it could be because God's blessing what they do and God's honoring what they do because they obey in the area of the minimum giving, which is tithing. I stated the other week that tithing is God's guarantee that you'll receive a reward. If God did not institute tithing, man would not give. If man does not give, God's under no obligation to reward him. So tithing was set up to guarantee man would have some type of a reward. I like to think of it like this. Tithing is taking out of God's one hand, putting it back into God's other hand, so you just keep a revolving cycle going of being blessed. You take what God gives you, you put some of it back in His other hand, you take from one hand, you put it in His other hand, and it just keeps cycling. And you get blessed. And little by little, He starts putting bigger doses in your hand, and you start putting bigger doses in His, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because God loves to give. All right. Now let's look at first fruits. This will bless your socks off if you'll get it. Always go to the first mentioned principle when you're studying anything in the Bible, okay? Go with me to Exodus 22. Let me explain the first mentioned principle real quickly while you find your place. I want you to read some of these with me. Exodus 22. When you go to the first mention, go to a concordance. If you don't have one, you can pick up a cheap one. I'd recommend the Strong's Concordance. You can get one for probably $15 to $20, tax included. At most any Bible bookstore, I'd highly recommend that you invest in one of those. When you're doing a Bible study, go to the very first time that that particular subject or word is mentioned. When you find out how it was used in that context with the definition of that word, it will follow that pattern all the way through the Bible. And here's why. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. God works by patterns. So, Find the first mentioned principle. Always do that. Let me just say this to you too while you're finding your place if you haven't already. Our Bible is Hebraic, okay? It is a Hebrew book. Anybody know how many authors we got here? We got 40. Of the 40, only one is a Gentile. His name's Luke. He wrote two books. The Gospel of Luke, authored by that has a title to his name on it, and the book of Acts. So of the 66 books that make up this Bible, then you only have two that is by Gentile. So it's a Hebrew book. So if we're going to learn how God operates in some things, we're going to have to study from a Hebrew mindset to a large degree. Can I get a witness? Also remember that Hebrew will be the language of heaven. How do I know that? Look it up later, but it's Acts chapter 26 and verse 14. Paul is testifying before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. In verse 14, he says, I heard this voice in the Hebrew tongue. And that was the resurrected Jesus speaking to him. So that would indicate that the spirit language in the heavenlies, when we get there, if that's what Jesus is speaking. And John said, 1 John 3:2, I read it at the funeral gravesite today, that we don't know what we'll be, but we know we'll be like him. In our resurrected form and in our spirit-bodied form. So if we're going to be like him, we'll speak his same language. He was speaking Hebrew. So that's just food for thought. All right, Exodus 22, verse 16. This is our first mention of, Exodus 22, verse 29. This is our first mention of first fruits. Thou shalt, now watch this, this might blow some of us away. Thou shalt not to lay to offer up the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. Lord, don't let the ABC people, store people, get a hold of that. It's in the Bible, they'll say. Thou shalt not to lay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors, which is grapes, and the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt give unto me. Look at Exodus 23, verse 16 through 19. Exodus 23, verse 16. And the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord. Thou shalt not offer the blood of thy sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of thy sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of the land shalt thou bring into the house of the Lord thy God. So God's saying here in the first mentioned principle that He wants us to bring to Him the first fruits of just about everything in our life. Let me read you this real quickly. Numbers 18, verse 12, because we're going to ask ourselves, we should be asking ourselves, then what is the first fruits? Well, it's answered here, and then I'll give you the word definition. In Numbers 18, verse 12, He's talking about bringing in the offerings again. But he says in verse 12, and the best of the oil, and of the best of the wine, of the wheat, of the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. So first fruits is offering up your very best to God. Now here's what we have to get. If you don't get nothing else tonight, get what I'm getting ready to tell you. That is a simplistic term. It's offering God your very best. We'll not get to get into the personal application of it tonight. We'll have to do that later. But for now, it's giving Him your very best. As we go further, it will be in everything. It's not just money. It's everything. Now, I'm a word study man. Some people don't like that, and I can't help it. I'm never trying to use words to act smart. God knows I'm not smart. Go ahead. But I have got enough sense to know that words have meanings. Could I get an amen? Amen. Words have meanings. So I go to my concordance and I look up the word first fruits. It's the Hebrew word reshith. R-E-S-H-I-T-H. It means first or beginning. In rank, place, time, order, it is the best. Here's what I want you to get. That same word, reshith, is the same Hebrew word for Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, and the next word is, He created. The word beginning there is the same word with the same meaning for first fruits, reshif. And what he's saying is this. This is what you got to get. This is the principle. Is when you are giving of your first fruits, you are beginning a created process in your life. In the beginning, God created. And when you and myself as believers, when we give of our first fruits, our very best, when we're giving to God our very best in whatever area of life it's in, we start a creation process in our own lives, whether we know it or not. Many people can't figure that out. They'll say, why is everything going so bad? And I'm a Christian. Most of the time, it's because they're not giving their very best to God. And when we don't give our best to God, He in turn doesn't give His best to us. And that's talking about in the things of substance, not the Lord Jesus Christ. God's already proven that principle, that He gave heaven's very best to earth. He gave heaven's best for mankind. He gave the first fruits of glory so you and I and mankind could be born again. Hallelujah to God. And what He asks in return to Him from His people is, if I've given my best, give yours. And when we don't give our best, we're telling God we don't want your best. So it starts a creation process. Let me illustrate. In Malachi 1, verses 12. Notice, here's what happens. In the close of the Old Testament, the people of Israel, they got real cold on God. The last word in the Old Testament's curse, because God had started cursing, and we'll read that in a moment. He had started cursing them long before the final word in the Old Testament was written. Why? Because they had ceased to give of the first fruits. They had ceased to give God their best. When they ceased to give God their best, He ceased to give them His best, and everything started messing up. In verse 12, and here's what they were doing. Notice. But ye have profaned it, talking about the Sabbath, or the table of the Lord, and polluted it, and the fruit thereof, even its meat is contemptible. Listen to what they were doing in verse 13. Ye have said, behold, what a weariness it is. In other words, they're saying, what a weariness it is to go to the temple to offer sacrifice. In today's vernacular, in 21st century, it'd be saying, man, it's Wednesday night, it's rainy, foggy, I don't feel like going. It's a weariness to get up and go to church. It's a weariness to read the Word of God. It's a weariness to witness. It's weary to give. And then it goes on to say, you've snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was, this is their sacrifices, you brought that which was torn, something that was maimed. You brought that which was lame. Here they're bringing their animal sacrifices. This is before Calvary and the Lord Jesus. And they're bringing secondary, at best, sacrifices. You brought that which is sick, and you brought an offering. Should I accept this, God asked, at your hand? Because they had done this, verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth and sacrificeth to the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Watch how God, boy, I tell you, He gets upset, verse chapter 2, verse 3. Because of that, He said, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. God was highly upset because they had ceased from giving their best. Here's how that applies. Listen to me very carefully. Here's how that applies today. We come to church, we don't give our best prayer. We come to church, we don't give our best voice. We come to church, we don't give our best effort. We come to the house of God, we don't give our best in witness. We don't give our best in our Bible. We don't give our best in the things of God. And because of that, we dry up. It's not John Gray theology. That's what God did to His people in the Old Testament. How much more so will He in the New? He was highly upset with their unwillingness to give of the first fruits. But in the New Testament, Jesus in Luke 21, 1 through 4, the woman with the two mites. Two mites wouldn't even equal a half a cent in today's monetary means. But the little woman gave of the first fruits. It's all she had. And Jesus commended her. He said, she's given more than them all. And we don't know it because the Scripture doesn't say it, but I'll guarantee you, she was more rewarded. And the devourer was rebuked in her life, most likely, because she gave of the first fruits and the best that she had while they just threw in the leftovers. God honors the first fruits, friend. Let me say this to you. Listen to me. Go with me to Genesis 4, very first book in the Bible. I'm trying to illustrate this for you. Genesis 4. 1-5. You know the story. Cain and Abel are both making an offering to God. You've got to read this the way it's written. Notice what he says. Let's read the first verse. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man-child from the Lord. And she bare again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now watch this in verse 3, don't miss it. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, watch this now, an offering unto the Lord. Any old thing to do. Look verse 4, what Abel did. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. And of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Here's what God's saying through this in the first fruits principle. Cain's gift was evidently just the leftovers of whatever he had left from his crop. It was not the first fruits. And God rejected it. I know about the thing about it didn't have blood. I understand that in the redemption theme, but that's not what we're talking about right here. We're talking about biblical giving and giving of the first fruits. And Cain brought his offering, and it just makes you say, it says, and Cain brought an offering, almost as though it really didn't mean anything to him. He didn't have no heart in it. He didn't have no passion in it. He didn't have no love in it. He didn't have any respect in it. And it was not from the first fruits of the best he had. Watch verse 4 again though about Abel. And Abel saw also brought up, watch this, firstlings, plural. Which means he probably bought more than one. He brought of the firstlings the best that he absolutely had of his flocks. And he offered them up to God. And God blessed it, God respected it, and God honored it. Now watch what happens to both of them. Cain, because God rejected his offering of secondary nature at best, leftovers, not first fruits, what happens to his heart? He starts getting mean. He starts getting filled with hate. He starts getting filled with murder. And we know that he carried it out. But God had respect unto Abel's because his was offered up as the first fruits. It was the absolute very best that he had. And in biblical giving, church, listen to me. You will prosper. Tithing just gets you started. Man, I used to think, when I finally started tithing regularly, I used to think that was it. I thought, what else could he want? How many of you know God don't need our money? Come on, folks. He don't need it. But it's a principle. Tithing just qualifies you to give of the first fruits. That's all it does. And when I finally figured out and got regular tithing, then I started learning about first fruit giving. I'm learning more and more about it every day. I want to give some stuff real quick because you got to get this. This is taught all through the Bible. I was amazed. I started looking some stuff up. I guess it was Monday. What's the day? Wednesday. Monday. I started looking some stuff up and I was just amazed because you have to understand, it's called the principle of first. Everybody in here knows that the root word to first fruits is what? You don't know? First. I'm a genius. The root word to first fruits is first. So you have first all throughout the Bible. Watch this right here. Write these scriptures down. Look them up later because I'm going to roll. It's all through the Bible. The principle of first. Then you add the fruits on. 1 Kings 17:13. There's a little widow there in Zarephath. She's dying. The man of God, Elijah, comes by. There's a famine. And he said, you got anything to eat? She said, another old begging preacher again. And he said, oh, no, no, no. She said, we're going to go get two sticks, make a fire. I'm going to make a little cake what I got left. After I eat that, me and my son's going to eat it, and then we're going to just die together. Evidently, the husband done died from the famine. When Elijah said, read the scripture, 1 Kings 17:13. He said, if you'll make me a cake, say it with me, first. And she did. Didn't she, Brother Claude? She made him a little cake first. And Elijah ate that cake. And you know what happened with that woman? Her meal barrel never ran out. And her oil cruse never went dry. And she had plenty throughout the famine. And not only was she sustained, but her son was sustained. Because she did what God said do first. Matthew 7:5. In the issue about forgiving and helping somebody that's down or hurting or that's been judged. Jesus said, first, cast the beam out of your own eye. And then you can see clearly to help your brother that's got a little splinter in his. We got people running around all the time trying to help somebody else, and they're the ones that need to help first. Mark 3:27. Boy, this is powerful. Jesus said, first bind the strong man. That's a demon. First bind the strong man. And then you can take back the spoils that he's robbed from you and he's stolen from you. We got so many people trying to do it in the energy of your flesh. It won't work. Satan is powerful. But thank God, greater is he that's in the believer than he that's in the world. And as many as received Christ, to them gave he power and ability to become the sons of God. You can't fight these spiritual battles on your own, in your flesh and in your weakness. You won't be able to be victorious. But once you allow the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you to bind that strong man, bring it under the obedience of Christ, drive it out of your life, then you can go back and gather the spoils that He's taken away from you. I like it. Romans 1:16. Get the gospel, Paul said. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Say it with me. To the Jew first, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Why is that? Because they're basically responsible, as I've already stated, for giving us the Word of God. It's our responsibility to get the gospel. And God said to them first, and then Genesis 1:12-3 will kick in. I'll bless him that bless you and curse him that curse you. Romans 8:23. The first century Christians, it said they were the first fruits of the Spirit. Oh, this is powerful. Get this. They were the first century. They were the first people that was indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit. What's the application to your life? You may be the first person in your family, the first fruits in your family, to really get authentically born again and have the Holy Spirit working in your life. Man, what a mission field we have. In the seed of our own homes and families. So, Paul admonishes the Romans to do that. I love this here. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. Paul said that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. What a beautiful picture. Which means we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry that the grave is the end. As soon as I entered the little canopy at the gravesite today, I said that to the family. I said, thank God this is not the end. This is just planting a physical body that'll be resurrected into eternal life and given new life and a brand new body likened unto Christ. And He'll change it. Vile body and make it likened unto His. Why? Because 3 days after Jesus was crucified and they laid Him in a tomb, the devil couldn't keep Him down. Demons couldn't keep Him down. Sin couldn't keep Him down. He'd already conquered all of it. And death, He took the sting out to the believer. Why? Because He is the first fruits of the resurrection, and all who belong to Him will follow in like pattern. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then ye which are alive and remain shall be called up, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And He said this, Mary Lou, comfort one another with these words. Here's what he's saying. Remind each other every chance you get that the dead in Christ, they're going to be a split second ahead of you because they had to die in this world and experience death. They're going to get to see Jesus just a split second ahead of you. I'm not worried about that. I'd still rather go up and miss the graveyard. Either way, it'll be all right. But either way you look at it, the dead in Christ will rise first. They're the first fruits of the rapture. And these which are alive and remain and don't taste death on this side will be right behind them and seeing the Lord Jesus, glory to God, in all of His splendor and all of His glory. It's the first mention, first fruits principle. It always works. I like this. 1 John 4:19. Say it with me. We love Him because He first loved us. Watch this right here. One of the reasons why so many people can't love anybody else but themselves is because they don't love Jesus first. When He is the first fruits of your love, it gets almost natural to love other people. When we say, Lord Jesus, You are the first fruits of all of my adoration and devotion, watch this. That cannot happen. And the love of God not being you for other people, because that's who He came to die for. So if you have a love problem, it's not with that wife or that husband or that child or that grandparent or that in-law or that outlaw. It's with ourself. We're throwing our love toward Christ as secondary leftovers. And therefore we don't love other people. Revelation 2:4. The church at Ephesus, say it with me, left their first love. Who was their first love? Christ. Brother, as long as they loved Christ and gave Him the first fruits of their devotion and adoration and worship, they thrived. But the day came that something happened that robbed them of their first fruits toward Christ, of their love toward Christ. Something happened. Maybe they got too interested in money. Maybe they got too much interested in clout. Maybe something squeezed it out of them. I was in a church years ago working. Immaculate place. And the pastor finally came around. And I mean, beautiful wood carvings, everything, high tech. And I said, what's the emphasis around here? I just want to know what he said. And he said, oh, it's the music and the beautification of the property. I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I thought, man, you missed it. Jesus, I don't care if we're meeting in a barn. Jesus should be the affection. And when the church at Ephesus lost their first love, will you listen to me a minute? It's still early. I'm not really your problem. And when people start saying somebody else in the church is a problem, they make me mad or they said this or that. I always already know that's not really not what it is. Because if you was in tune with Him, you could overlook some of that foolishness. Well, they didn't recognize my birthday. Well, what difference does it make? Who gives a rip? I'm going to lie about your age anyway. Say amen, Wanda. Well, they looked at me wrong. Well, just be thankful they looked at you at all. Who gives a rip? That's not the problem. Well, they don't do enough for the young people or the seniors, or they spend too much money on this and they didn't do that. It's always some old silly, idiotic, stupid something. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you hit them doors back there and you've been in the Word all week and talking to Christ and you come in, and I mean, you're just, you can't wait till somebody does something. Till they start singing or somebody testifies or the preacher preaches or the teacher teaches or somebody sings or something and you're just ready to go. It doesn't matter what's going on or what somebody says or what somebody thinks. Listen to me, church. That kind of foolishness won't never stop. Rise above it in the first fruits of your adoration in the love of Jesus Christ. Be an overcomer. Rise above the demonic strongholds of the prince and the power of the air. Rise above the tactics of the god of this world. Be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, your royal and rightful position, and tell the devil to go back to hell where he's going to wind up anyway. Y'all looking at me strange? Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6. I'm almost done. I'm giving you the first fruits principle. It's all through the Bible. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. He will reign with Christ 1,000 years. What I know y'all don't understand. You don't get this. Listen to me and tell you what that means, okay? I got to roll. How we're seated, S-E-E-D-E-D, like basketball teams and others. How we're seated, how we're placed in the millennial kingdom is dependent upon how we serve God right now. So how we're serving Him in fervency right now is going to be dependent. And Paul said, blessed is he that had part, John said, blessed is he that had part in the first resurrection, where the second death hath no power. For he shall reign with Christ in the kingdom age 1,000 years. Write this down. Leviticus 23, 9 through 12. Leviticus 23, 9 through 12. You have 7 feasts of Israel listed in that chapter. One of these days I want to preach on every one of those in a series. Don't miss this. They have a feast, I think it lasts 7 days, that all they do, that feast is still intact today. They call it the Feast of Dedication today. Because they dedicate everything God's brought into their life in the last month or in the last 12 months, and they take those 7 days and they give the first fruits of it back to God in praise and adoration, because they realize that it came from Him. Could I get an amen? Finish this verse with me. It's my last one. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, man, you need to get this one if you don't get any of the rest of them. Seek ye the kingdom of God, that's the work of God on earth. And all these things, what was those things? Be added to you. Brother Terry, a loaf of bread. How much? Lettuce? You said lettuce? Yeah, them too. All these things, gasoline for your car. All these things, money for that insurance that come through that you didn't think was going to. All these things, whatever you stand in need of, whatever you've got, you give the first. God, Jesus said it. My soul can't get no higher authority. He said, hey, here's what y'all ought to be doing. Can I paraphrase in 21st century redneck vernacular? Here's what y'all ought to be doing. Y'all, Southern. Y'all, you ought to be seeking my kingdom on earth. The kingdom of God acting it out on earth to make earth a better place to live and to dwell and be a light and salt in that earth. Seek that first. Invest in that first. And all these things y'all seeking after, cars, four-wheelers, boats, houses, townhouses, recreation. I'm not against any of that stuff. It doesn't make any difference to me. Jesus is just saying in the first fruits principle listed all the way through the Bible, seek Him first. Seek His kingdom first on earth, and all them things, they'll be added to you. Don't worry about it. Here's the people that never see them things supernaturally make it into their life. When it comes time to give, they turn the plate upside down. They turn their head the other way. When it comes time to help and aid a needy family in the house of God or community, they always turn a deaf ear. It's for somebody else to do. And even when you don't have monetary means, give of your time, give of your resources somehow, some way. Just go ahead and give. I promise you, Jesus said, if you'll do that, I'll add all these things to you, and you won't never do that. Brother Clarence, his seed has never been found begging bread. He knew how to. Here's old King Ahab and Jezebel. They're over yonder eating steak, filet mignon. Elijah's over yonder by the brook. And God told a buzzard or a raven. What difference it makes? It's a foul bird. And God told that foul bird, He said, He controls them all. Don't He say amen? And He said, hey, Mr. Raven or Buzzard or Vulture or whatever you are.
He said, go down yonder and get the biggest piece of filet mignon you can find off Ahab's table and take it down there and drop it in the mouth of my servant Elijah. All these things. These things. These things. This happened to me a few months ago. I was in the doorway of one of our people. And I'm standing there talking to them, and they're telling me, preacher, I don't think I got enough groceries to do me through the month. And I said, well, do you believe God can provide? I know y'all don't believe this ain't like lies I normally tell. This really happened. I tell you, stuff like this happens. It's just a blessing to be around. I'm standing there. I said, well, do you believe God? Well, yeah. I said, well, let's trust Him right now. This is the truth. My hands up for Jesus. My cell phone rang. I pulled it out. I said, hello? Preacher, I've got some extra groceries here, and I don't know what to do with them. You know anybody that needs them? I said, have you got them bagged? No, but I'll get them. I said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. He knows how to give Him things. When we implement the first fruit principle, He knows how to add. Did you see that, James, how it read that, Mary Lou? You got to read it real carefully. It said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And watch it. It said, these things, it said they'll be added. Meaning, Miss Janice, that you probably already got some anyway. And He's going to add to what you already got. How many of y'all believe He ain't going to let you starve? Come on. Raise your hand, raise your crutch, raise the whole thing. How many of you know He's going to take care of you? Anybody in here know that? Come on, folks. How many of you know our God's able? How many of you know He's capable? How many of you know He's willing to take care and add to obedient children who say, Lord, oh man, I've done it. On a few occasions, I've been real tempted to say, well, maybe next time I'll do my best. But I promise you, if you'll go ahead and do it, He'll take care. There's all kinds of blessings, all kinds of them things. They're just waiting in His reservoirs with your name on it. And the only thing that's keeping it from falling into your possession is not giving the first fruits and starting the creation process of that blessing to manifest in your life. Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we all need to give the first fruits of our adoration towards You and our love. Would You help us on this Lord's Day? They're already saying it's going to rain, be bad weather and all that. Will You help us right now to dismiss that out of our minds? And just decide that no matter what, by Your divine grace, we're going to come with the first fruits of our devotion on Sunday morning to worship You. Lord, would You help us right now? We got some people in here wondering, doubting, and fear. Would You help them right now to commit and vow, trust You by faith, to give of the first fruits? Not only their income, but any assets they might have, but somebody else might be in need of anything. I don't know what it is. And watch You add these things into their life. Lord, You've done it for Elijah. You've done it for Israel down through all those scriptures we read. And You can do it for our people tonight. Now, Lord, some of them are going to go out and say, that preacher's want my money. Padlock your pocketbook, lock your wallet, because he's after it. Would You let them know that it's not my intention. It's not Your intention. We just want them to be blessed. And Lord, I'm going to go ahead and confess I want to be blessed. And I'm going to ask You to help me to implement, and my church, this church to implement to the best of our ability, the first fruits. In Jesus' name we pray.